Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We always say that the Paracast is a worldwide show. Of course, I'm in Arizona. Our special guest co-host, Tim Swartz, is in Indiana. And Philip Mantle is somewhere secreted inside a huge underground bunker in the UK. Is that where you are, Philip?
Absolutely. I've got my own private bunker, you know that, Gene.
I know, I think the way things are, I would like to be there.
Well, yeah, I wish it was so. In fact, I live in a little town called Pontefract in West Yorkshire in the north of England. And the sun's shining after a day of rain, so everything's looking rosy.
Now, I don't know if this is going to be a rosy comment to make. But we had the UFO hearings last week in the U.S. on a Tuesday. Lasted 90 minutes. Philip, I understand you watched it. Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing, yeah.
So tell us in 3,000 words or less, what did you think?
Well, not a lot, really. I thought it was going to go on for longer, to be honest, gentlemen. I had no idea how long it was going to last. Some of the political hearings they have here in open session go on all day. So I was set for the day, but thankfully it was only 90 minutes. We didn't learn an awful lot. National security seemed to be the overriding factor. That was it, really. I mean, it was good, I suppose, that it happened in the first place. It's just, you know, some people said it's a step on a long journey. But I don't know. I'm not calling me skeptical or cynical, but I didn't expect a lot from it, so therefore I wasn't disappointed. I don't expect a whole lot more, to be honest, but I'd love to be wrong. That's my summation of it, guys. You know, 90 minutes of my life that I'll never get back.
Send them a bill.
yeah, that would be a good idea, but it happened. Yeah, so you know, let's be positive about it for now, and see if it leads anywhere. It's unlikely. You know, you see various individuals were bigging it up to begin with and are still bigging it up afterwards, even though there was nothing in it. Let's see if they're right. We shall see.
Yes, we shall. Now, our friend Kevin D. Randall, and you know him because you've published one of his books and probably know him a long time as we do, said this would be Condon 2.0. He expected nothing of it. Do you think we can go that far, Philip?
Yeah, I mean, I've spoken with Kevin about it recently, and we were both pretty much on the same page. I mean, Kevin, you know, has worked in the military. He knows more about security, the classifications, than I will ever do. So I took his lead on that, and national security. And, you know, some people have said, is it a backdoor way of trying to get more money for the military budget? You know, because it keep pushing, is it Chinese, is it Russian, it could be, might not be, but it may be. So we better be prepared just in case it is. I don't know, but it was just what it was.
Well,
you know,
nothing to write home about. I lost part of that. Just continue that last part, Philip. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, it was not what we say, nothing to write home about, really. You know, so many people had great expectations of it. Probably nowhere, but let's hope we're wrong.
Yes, indeed. It's not that we expect them to get up there and say, hey, folks, we're being visited by E.T. But regardless of what they are, if we don't know what they are, that's a potential threat to national security. We don't have to go beyond that. That's the one point. The other point here, you mentioned maybe a gauge to increase the military budget. It's not that much of a threat. They haven't seemed to spend a lot of money on it. Right now we have the war in Ukraine to keep the military contractors busy. We don't need to worry about flying saucers.
Yeah, but this was something that was in the pipeline before. the war in Ukraine erupted. We were constantly told that there were going to be an invasion. We didn't seem quite prepared for it, did we? You know, you wouldn't think the war in the Ukraine and Russia would affect the rest of the world, but it has. And we're all feeling it economically in one way or another. And, of course, the poorer countries will suffer the greatest. But there you go. Like I said, gentlemen, we'll see what happens with it. You know, they've made a number of assurances. They've dangled a few carrots. You know, they've got 400 cases. Kind of made me laugh when somebody asked, you know, how do the military report these things? And they say they fill a form in. Well, you know, UFO groups have been doing that for decades. You fill a form in. So despite whatever budget they may have or may not have, despite what people are working on it, if you want to report something, you still got to fill a form in. Okay, an electronic one, direct to whoever. But it just kind of made me chuckle. I'm thinking for decades, UFO groups have been treated with disdain at times and mocked, but we've done pretty much the same as they're doing, really. And good luck to them. That's what I say, gents. Leave them to it. Let's see what happens.
Now, when it comes to private UFO organizations, none of their work has impacted this at all. Nobody mentions it. Nobody mentions that civilian researchers have been looking at this thing for over 70 years, people like you and me and Tim for many decades, and we have lots of reports. I do think, though, they could be more modern about it, you know. The eye doctor my wife visits, what they do when they need to get your patient information instead of filling out these dumb forms, they hand you an iPad, you tap a few things, and that's it. Maybe they should order from Apple. Now, I'll say Apple because that particular platform is better for this kind of thing. Sorry about that, folks. Give out iPads to investigators to accumulate information. It would be a lot easier and more consistent.
Well, that was a curious thing that wasn't mentioned. Unless I mistook something, I didn't see any information or any suggestion of an investigation or investigators. I didn't see anybody that was going to go out and interview these witnesses because they're only dealing with the military, of course. I'm going back just to the year 2000, so everything before that, forget it. You know, any members of the public, forget it. Correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen. I didn't hear any mention of an investigative body. You know, that was filler forming, and collect the data. You know, I'm assuming that they're also looking at, you know, film and video and radar and that kind of thing. But it's still filling a forming, and pretty much like you do with MUFON. If you want to report a sighting, you can just go on their website, report it. If you've got photographs and video, you can upload them, and away they go. At least they have, you know, a bunch of volunteer investigators, good, bad, and indifferent, probably. But I didn't see any mention of that, so I don't know where it's going to lead to. We'll have to wait and see, really, because we haven't got a lot of information, so we can only speculate, can't we?
Well, I'm looking here at a press release from MUFON, making a statement about the UFO hearing. It says they have 1,100 volunteers nationwide and 46 international chapters. And I assume the volunteers are people who are investigators. But the total membership is 4,600. Now, the PowerCast may not be the biggest show on the planet, far from it, but we reach a lot more than 4,600 people. So basically, we are larger than MUFON. So you have this organization that's been around since 1969, and that's all the members they could accumulate, 4,600, after all these many years. And a lot of the people there are people who have been with them almost for the duration. We're going to talk in a few minutes about a book called UFO Landings UK. The author is Philip Mantle, and he has a little company called Flying Disc Press that has published a lot of great books, including on the Pascagoula episode from Calvin Parker. Our special Special guest co-host is Tim Swartz. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name is Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hi, Peter Beccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We continue with Philip Mantle. The book is UFO Landings UK. Philip, you first released this book a couple of years back, and you've updated it since then?
I didn't actually release it a couple of years back. It was ready for release. And what was happening here in the UK, we were in the process of making a TV documentary based on some of the cases featured in the book. And once you upload it to Amazon, if you don't set an exact date, then it's the day you upload it. And, of course, then COVID hit. So the documentary was put on hold. We did manage to film about half of it. We've filmed some more now since COVID has not disappeared, but the regulations have gone. And we have one more person to interview, and the documentary will be done. The book was just left in limbo, and I decided, look, I didn't know at that point if the documentary was going to get finished or not, so I release it now while I've got the chance, and I've got the time as well. So it was written during lockdown, you know, it was finished, because it's been a project, Gene, that's been on my back burner for a number of years. I just kept moving the line in the sand a bit further away. You know, I'd wait for another case coming in, or I would be looking at something else. All the while that, you know, things have been compiled. So once I'd started it, only briefly, and I thought I better get this finished now, because I thought if I don't finish it now, then I never will. I even thought about changing it while it's been sat in limbo as well. And I thought if I change it, I'll not publish it. I'll wait for something else. I'll wait for the next piece of information. So whilst you may see a date from a year or two back on Amazon, it's actually out now. So, and it's up and running. It's in paperback, hardback, Kindle, and audiobook. Take your pick. Like I said, the documentary hopefully will be finished pretty soon. When there will be a broadcast date, that's another thing. But it's up and running. We're getting there.
How did you happen to select cases to cover in this book?
I just compiled anything that came my way, Gene. You know, I've had an interest in UFO landing cases right from the very early days when I dipped my toe into the ufological pool, so to speak. And I managed to meet a number of individuals and interview them. So they were in my case files. A lot of those were in paper format, the old papers, you know. But then I'd read something else. I'm fortunate that I've got a nice collection of books and magazines and publications, and I've got colleagues and contacts. And I would say, you know, to some of my colleagues, I'm interested in this. I didn't badger them. This is going down the years. Say, I'm interested in this type of case. And, you know, have you researched anything? Or have you got anything? And they would say, yeah, I've got this, Philip. Here you go. And so gradually, slowly but surely, the case files would mount up. And I didn't really exclude any of them that I'm aware of, apart from one. And that was one that came in after the book had been completed. And the way I judged them, if you want to use that word, I looked back at Alan Hynek. And I remember his phrase, you know, high strangeness. And all of these cases, in my humble opinion, have got a level of high strangeness one way or another. And for me, that makes it more difficult to try and explain them or to write them off as misidentifications or whatever. But, you know, so that they were just compiled down a couple of decades or more, several decades. And I wasn't sure how to lay the book out to begin with. I thought, shall I do it by area? Shall I do it by country? You know, because even though we're the UK, we've got England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales. I thought, well, obviously England's the biggest, so you'll have one news chapter on things in England and not so many in Wales and Ireland, etc. So in the end, I decided to lay it out in decades. You know, each decade by decade, beginning with a few cases that happened before Kenneth Arnold, because we know June the 24th this year is the 75th anniversary of flying saucers. But again, we are aware that things were recorded prior to Kenneth Arnold, so I thought I'd give a nice example of some of the things here. So it's laid out in decade format, and there are some extremely fascinating and bizarre cases in equal measures throughout the book, in my opinion.
Do you cover any cases that didn't pass muster after thorough investigation?
There's always a few. For example, there's a couple of cases in the book that we would class as an alien abduction account, which was the subject of my very first book, which was called Without Consent. And I updated that a couple of years ago. So I was wondering whether I should include what we would class as abduction accounts. But I thought I had to, because one or two fitted into that, really did fit nicely into the layout of the book. So there weren't ones that didn't pass muster, but there were ones that I thought, well, no, this is not right for this book. Or, for example, the Rendlesham case, December 1980, probably Britain's most well-known UFO event, but I couldn't do that justice in just writing a few lines about it. You know, there's been whole books written about it. So I decided to try and not put in any items like that that were already well known and popular, unless I had something new to add, of course, but I don't. So that was put to one side simply because it's already been covered in other books in totality so far. So that's the way I looked at it, gentlemen. That's the way I approached it.
Now, when it comes to Rendlesham, there have been some statements from British UFO researchers where they don't think it's a mystery anymore. And I mentioned Jenny Randles and David Clark as examples where they've become skeptics of Rendlesham.
Yeah, I mean, Jenny has changed their mind several times down the years. I don't know what her current stance is. David's always skeptical. That's his nature. However, you know, David, he absolutely believes that Colonel Holt and his party misidentified Orford Ness Lighthouse. That's his opinion, not mine. However, I have asked him, well, okay, what about John Burroughs and Jim Penniston? Totally different night. You know, what about what they claim to have encountered in the middle of the Rendlesham Forest? And he just said, I don't know. He doesn't really have an explanation for that. But David goes on to point out that there were a number of things in the sky at that time that were natural phenomena. So there was a number of things happening all at once. What is curious to me, gentlemen, and I'm not skeptical in that respect, is you have Penniston and Burroughs in the forest. They are only a matter of yards apart from each other. They encounter this thing. And John just describes it as some strange lights.
We've got more with Philip and Jean and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott wants to know how police officers really responded to this week's school shooting in Uvalde. He's livid as new details have emerged about what actually happened as the 18-year-old gunman attacked the school, killing 9 kids and 2 adults. It was learned that a Border Patrol agent, not local police officers, took out the gunman. Local officers in Uvalde did not even engage the shooter. Colonel Stephen McCraw is director of the Texas Department of Public Safety.
And of course it was not the right decision. It was the wrong decision, period. There's no excuse for that.
It was also learned that parents who urged officers to take action were pushed back as gunshots were still heard. Barely 900 votes separate celebrity physician Dr. Mehmet Oz and former hedge fund CEO Dave McCormick in the Republican primary for U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania. A recount is underway in the Keystone State. This is USA Radio News. Temperatures barely climbed into the 90s and only for a couple of days. However, the discovery of the bodies of three women inside a Chicago senior housing facility this month is leaving the city looking for answers to questions that were supposed to be addressed after a longer and hotter heat wave killed more than 700 people nearly three decades ago. The Cook County Medical Examiner's Office has yet to determine the causes of death for the three women whose bodies were found in the James Snyder apartments on May 14th. The victims' families have already filed or plan to file wrongful death lawsuits against the companies that own and manage the buildings. A settlement has been reached with families who lost relatives in last year's collapse of a Surfside, Florida condominium tower that killed 98 people. The billion-dollar settlement to end litigation over the Champlain Tower South tragedy now awaits approval by a judge. Lawyers previously had announced in court a tentative agreement that the money would be split by the families whose relatives died or were harmed in the collapse of the 12-story tower. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
I think Tim Swartz wants to be the shadow. Anyway, Philip Mantle joins us. He probably doesn't know about American pop culture, so I won't bring it up. Now, Burroughs bothers me, that case, because he got sick. Probably at a younger age than we would expect for a heart condition, and it took years and the help of a lawyer to persuade the VA to cover him for his illness.
I'll come back to that. As I was explaining, you've got Burroughs and Penniston only yards apart from each other viewing this thing, and John described it as strange lights, which was what was initially sighted descending into the forest. Jim Penniston, on the other hand, says there's this triangular-shaped object pretty much on the ground or almost on the ground. He touched it. It was warm. He walked around it. It had these glyphs on the side of it. John Burroughs was just a few yards away. I never saw any of that. I just saw these lights. There's a discrepancy there. I'm not saying it's anything to do with the gentleman lying or anything like that. Quite the opposite. But you're right, John. A long time after he'd finished in his service, had heart problems and did seek a lawyer and they helped him with the VA get some compensation, we would call it. I don't know how old he was when he took ill, but it's not uncommon, and I can speak from my own perspective. I'm 64 now. At the age of 41, I was married to young children, you know, working full time, fit and healthy, didn't smoke, and out of the blue I had a near fatal heart attack. This was in August of 1999. And one of the older overriding things I remember when being in the hospital was the doctors and nurses saying, "Oh, aren't you young to have a heart attack?" Because I looked around me and pretty much all the other patients were older than me, you know. And I don't claim anything. You know, heart disease runs in our family. My father died of it. My brother died of it. And it's damn near killed me a few times. But, you know, it's not uncommon. But John, in fairness, did use his his legal advisor and seek compensation, and thankfully obtained it. But then you go to here in the UK, you go to what was what we call the Condine Report, which was written by Dr. Ron Haddow for the Ministry of Defence. So it was released in early 2000s. It took 4 years to compile. And Ron, Dr. Haddow, in the Condine Report, talks about these lights, and he's worried about the exposure from them and their interference with aircraft electrical systems. And of course, he comes up with an unknown. He says it's some kind of plasma. And if that is the case, then maybe it did affect John. You know, if you get too close to it, irradiates you, has EM effects, whatever. But that's just a theory. And that was a classified report as well, gentlemen. It wasn't made publicly available until Dr. David Clark had it released under the Freedom of Information Act. And John Burroughs has referred to that report on many occasions. So make of it what you will. But, you know, Rendlesham is still a case that's you know, been looked at. I think pretty much all of the witnesses are still alive and available for interview. Unlike Roswell, for example, I think as far as we're aware, everyone that was involved at the time has now passed away. So you can still, but the problem with Rendlesham, we have to remember, we started off with some strange lights descending into the forest. That's what was seen initially. And we now have ended up with a time machine. Jim Penniston says it was a time machine. This is us from the future. And you think, well, what the hell happened in between? Well, how did we get from some funny lights to a time machine? It's become more of a legend. And again, that's, you know, I'm not saying anyone's lying or anything like that, because I'm not. So once it becomes myth and legend, it's very difficult to sort out the wheat from the chaff, I'm afraid. But it's still a fascinating story, and one I'm sure will still be debated for years to come. But for my purposes, it was too big a story to sort of trim down and do it justice in my UFO landings book. I thought people would rather read about other cases that they've never heard of rather than one that they probably have. Hence, it didn't make it into the book.
For a lot of people, skeptics, I suppose, that say that, you know, there's nothing to UFOs, you know, just some lights in the sky that can be easily explained. Yet, in your book, it's jammed-packed full of these landing cases, and these are just from the UK. I mean, you know, God knows how many more there are, you know, all across the planet. So, I mean, you really can point to these cases and you know, tell people who aren't familiar with the phenomena, and this would be a good example of if there's ever another congressional hearing, that there really is a lot more to the UFO phenomena than just some strange lights in the sky.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is one of the reasons for writing this book and some of the other stuff I've done, you know, previously as well. And one of the reasons I've concentrated just on the UK is because certain individuals or members of the press and the media in general will have you believe that if these events are reported, they're only reported in the desert of New Mexico or, you know, the swamps of Mississippi, that you know, and then they'll make fun of that. But as you and I know, that's as you've said, that's not the case. And I can literally wave this, I mean, I can smack them around the back of the head with this book. It's quite a hefty tome, and say, well, have a look at these. These are not from the New Mexico desert or the Mississippi swamps. This is from your own back garden. And one of the first cases I ever investigated way back in the summer of 1980 was in my backyard, a little town, a little mining town, just a few miles from where I lived. And I didn't need an awful lot of convincing, but that if I did, that was the case that convinced me that I wasn't wasting my time. There was a genuine phenomena here, wasn't easily explained as I thought it would be, again, very naively on my behalf. And here I am all these years later, still writing about it and still talking about it. So, but these things happen and they are difficult to explain. This is what I talked about, the high strangeness factor. As most UFO organizations will tell you, and I used to help run one as well, most sightings that are reported do have a conventional explanation. The great majority of them do. But there are accounts, on occasion, that you cannot just write it off and say it is this or it's that. Or like Philip Glass used to do when he couldn't find an answer, just call the people liars, you know, as simple as that, or a hoax or whatever. But he would have that always up his sleeve, Mr. Glass. But it's difficult. It is difficult to say, well, this is an illusion, or they were imagining things, or they mistook a helicopter, or whatever. I'm not saying it's impossible, I'm not saying it's very difficult. And that's why I don't speculate in the book what these things may or may not be. I allow the readers themselves to reach their own conclusions. You know, I'm certainly not the person to indoctrinate or try to indoctrinate anyone or tell them anything. Here's what we've uncovered. Please have a read and draw your own conclusions. Make up your own mind. And that's the way it is.
And hopefully they'll come up with something interesting to point to. Now, in terms of a UFO landing, where is your starting point? Just anything that touches the ground briefly, or must it actually land for a period of time to constitute a UFO landing? We'll have Philip Mantle's answer in just a moment. And by the way, he'll stick back with us for the After the Paracast podcast for our Paracast Plus listeners, because we can't run out of questions to ask him. The book is UFO Landings UK, and our guest co-host is Tim Swartz. I am Gene Steinberg, and you're not. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
This is Jennifer Stein, executive producer of The Disclosure Dialogues. You're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So the question I asked to Philip Mantle before we broke about UFO landings, must it spend time on the ground or just touching the ground for a moment? Does that constitute a landing?
Most of these cases in there, the objects that were observed were actually on the ground. There are one or two that, you know, were just above it, a few inches, a foot, whatever. So I'm not going to rule it out just because of that. Pretty much as far as we're concerned, it's on the ground. And not only that, it's up close and personal. And there's various layers of high strangeness. As Hynek pointed out, it could be more than one witness. There could be some, you know, effects left on the environment. There may be some official documentation that follows on and so on. And these cases have got bits and pieces of that mixed in them amongst all of them, no matter where they happen here in the UK. I mean, there's one from the late 70s, a chap who I've met and interviewed with, a chap called Philip Shepherdson. He's pretty sure it was on the ground, but he said it might have just been hovering, Philip, but it appeared to me it was on the ground. This happened near York in North Yorkshire. Just to go on the record, Philip's been interviewed for our documentary, and he's never been on TV before, so that'll be something new for people who watch these kind of things as well. But he's also featured in the book, so that's where we go with cases like that.
I think one of my favorite cases, and I'm happy that it's in this book, and it's really a bizarre case, and then plus, it's been brought back up again fairly recently, and this was the 1954 the Staffordshire case. Mrs. Jessie,
Jessie Rosenberg.
Rosenberg, yes.
Yeah, I mean, Jessie, on occasion, had already appeared on television. She was in some pretty sort of well-known documentaries at the time, probably made in the 70s, and the way Jessie came across was she would convince you of anything. That's how she talked. You know, she was extremely believable, extremely down to earth, and she described one of the sightings described as it coming out of the house, and it was over the house. This thing was so big, it was over the house. And what is interesting is that the we'll call them the beings, the creatures, whatever, they were pretty much human-like that she observed, you know, because this was, like you said, the 1950s. And I got asked a couple of years ago, might have been by you, gentlemen, I can't remember who it was, but somebody said, where have all the Space Brothers gone? Because, of course, in the 1950s, that was what people were talking about, you know, the contactees. The aliens were our friendly space brothers come to save Earth from, you know, doom and disaster. And that's pretty much, you know, the kind of thing that Mrs. Rosenberg saw. And she was being interviewed again. I've got a great colleague called John Hansen. John is a former CID police detective, now retired, has a huge archive of material. But what John's done is not just preserve the archives. He's gone and interviewed a number of people when he's had the chance, and Mrs. Rosenberg was one of them. And I use a lot of John's material throughout the book. And she was so believable. You know, and again, you have to say, well, there's no way she could misidentify these things. It's not a helicopter. So you have two choices. And Kevin Randall will disagree with me. They're either telling the truth or they're lying. You know, Kevin said, no, they're either lying or they've seen it. You know, UFOs. But Mrs. Rosenberg is one of the witnesses, as you said. I'm glad you remembered her, because you probably can find some of her interviews online, because, like I said, she appeared in a couple of documentaries. But an extremely believable lady, and a fascinating incident indeed.
Well, and she wasn't alone in her sighting. Her two sons.
That's right. Her children were there, yes. Her children were with her. And she was very protective of them. I'm not sure if they were ever interviewed. John may have made reference to it, but I don't recollect, you know, any detailed accounts of her children being interviewed, which is, again, it's not uncommon. You know, I've known that before. There's a couple of ladies in the book whose children were involved, and, you know, they've never, even though they've grown up, they've never been interviewed. So they were very protective, and rightly so.
I think one of the fascinating things about a lot of these cases is that, and especially with some of the old ones, you have people with these experiences who really have no, I suppose, pop culture references to go back on that, you know, some debunkers would say, oh, well, you know, they just, you know, they saw a show on the television that night or the night before, and that, you know, that was their influence. But, you know, a lot of these cases are so similar with people who really, you can tell, this is something, you know, completely new and outside of their experiences.
Absolutely. And, you know, Mrs. Rosenberg appeared in the local newspapers and did drawings of what she saw. There is a picture of her with the children, but I'm not aware of them being interviewed at all. But that's why, you know, one of the cases goes back to 1943 in the book. And it involved a gentleman called John Warren. And it was in May 1943. Mr. Warren was in the Royal Air Force. And he was based at RAF Ludham, which is near Norwich in Norfolk. And, of course, there is no reference to flying saucers and aliens in the RAF in the middle of the Second World War. Now, Mr. Warren, and I interviewed Mr. Warren, you know, in person, in the 1980s. And he got a night off. And he was actually an armourer, so he would arm the aircraft with their various arsenals, and he got a night off to go to a local dance, and he missed the last train home. This was still a time when we had lots of little local train stations, so he had to walk home the 12 miles. Now, it wasn't the walk back that bothered him, it was the fact that if you were late back, you could be in big trouble and you wouldn't get another pass to go out anywhere. So he walked the 12 miles back. As he's approaching the base, it's obviously dark. And he said up ahead there was a green glow. And as he got closer, this was by the side of the road, there is a being standing there, perfectly still. It's got a box of some description on its chest. And from the top of this box, it's shining a green glow onto its face. It kind of made his face look distorted. Right? It looked like it got a big grin on its face. And behind it, on the grass verge, there was an object on the ground. Mr. Warren said it looked like a bell tent. And then behind, to the left again, there were two more of these creatures. I mean, it frightened the living daylights out of him. He ran back to the base. One of his friends had been waiting up for him and managed to let him in through a window. So he didn't get into trouble for coming late back. And he told his friend about it. And I did some local media when I moved house in the 1980s, and Mr. Warren contacted me. So I only lived a short distance away from him. So I went to interview him, you know, in person, in the house. And he'd originally reported it back in the 1960s, I believe. And in the book, we have his reply from the UFO group. You know, I remember sitting there in his front room. He drew me a little sketch of this thing. And you just see this strange creature standing at the side of the road. And he said, Philip, you know, he said, had I been armed, I would have shot it. I didn't put this in the book because it's not in the case file, but he told me this. And he said, because it wasn't us. This is 1943, you know, the height of the Second World War. And if it wasn't us, it must be the enemy. But he said, you know, he rather jokingly said, you know, you don't take a firearm to a dance. So he had no reference for this, is what I'm trying to say. This is the middle of the Second World War. I don't think they'd sit down and watch science fiction movies all night in the officer's mess. So, again, you have to say Mr. Warren is either telling the truth or he's lying.
You know, one thing I should mention here, he obviously wasn't aware of the possibility that E.T. might not set their phasers on stun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, we've got more to come with Philip and Jean and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.